Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set as usual for our Saturday show on a beautiful, beautiful day in Chicago. And this weekend in sport, there's not too much going on football-wise. That's a week from tomorrow. It'll be a big, big game. But today there's a lot of basketball, and tomorrow there's a lot of pro basketball. And we're going to talk about many, many things today with an old friend of mine of many, many years, Bobby Riggs, who's been for many years one of the top figures in the world of tennis. He's done a lot for the sport. He was a great, great player, and he's still very, very active. So we have many things to talk about with Bobby, and he'll be our guest in just about 1 minute. Bobby Riggs, our guest today, is an attraction at America's Chicago Fishing and Vacation Sports Show that opens today, by the way, in just about an hour at noon at the Arlington Park Exposition Center, and will be there, and the show will be there until the 20th. Bobby, however, if you want to see him, he'll be there today and tomorrow. We were in the Navy together, and I think we set the country back, and we prolonged the war about 4 years.
Oh, I don't know about that, Bob. I think that we had some good times up there at Great Lakes, the Naval Training Station. I know you were an aide to the Admiral. You always wind up in the right spot, boy. I was over there in boot camp trying to come out to be like a first-class seaman or something.
Yeah, but don't you remember all those passes I used to give you?
That's right. I'll never forget.
So we could play cards.
Right, right, boy. Oh, boy. I think you wound up with more paychecks than mine than anybody else.
What do you recall about your tennis days? Tennis is still a great sport. Television has helped it, hasn't it?
Right, it has. I recall in the old days, hey, we thought that it would be big money. I won the national championships as a professional in 1946 and won $2,000 for winning the singles and doubles. And today, Connors, Borg, McEnroe, those guys are making take McEnroe, for instance. This year alone, he's made $500,000 in prize money. Borg has made almost that much, and so has Connors, with their racket endorsements, their clothing lines, their appearances, and whatever else they do. These guys are making so much money now, Bob, it's out of sight.
That's a shame. You really came before your time?
I wouldn't say that. I don't have any regrets. I don't think anybody had any more fun than we had in the old days. You and your softball teams, all the broadcasting days you did for the Cubs and the White Sox, the 12 World Series. Hey, you wouldn't trade all that now for all the money around today, and neither would I. I'm very proud of my record in tennis. After all, I've won over 50 national championships during my whole lifetime, and I started out as a youngster, 15 years old, when I won my first title. I won my last one just last year at 60.
Well, that's amazing. I was going to ask you, Bobby, does a tennis player have to get started at a real early age?
That's the secret. That's the secret to be good, to be great. I don't think you can be great unless you have the early start. Now, we have some great examples of that in the tennis world. Tracy Austin, our U.S. Open champion now, is just 17, so she's got years ahead of her. You've got a girl right here in Chicago by the name of Andrea Jaeger, who is fantastic. She's only 14, and she won the 18 and unders this year. She didn't even bother with the 14s and 16s. She skipped those two divisions and won the 18s, and some really good girls in that 18. So I look for Chicago maybe to come up with the next world champion, and just 1, 2, 3 years away from now. You watch for that name, Bob, Andrea Jaeger. She is absolutely super good, and she's had the early start. She started when she was about 5, 6 years old. Chrissy Everett got the early start. Navratilova got started very, very early. Billie Jean King started early. So in the men's tennis, you've got to get the early start. The same thing is true in golf. Look at Jack Nicklaus, breaking 70 when he was only 11, 12 years old. Palmer's father was a golf pro. They were on the golf course when he was 6, 7, 8 years old. Gary Player got the early start. Gene Littler was national, a junior champion. So in any kind of sports, look at the boxers. If you don't have the early start, forget it in sports. That's what I would say.
Bobby, I can remember when France was really up there when it came to tennis. You don't hear about that. What's happened to tennis in France? They used to be so big in Davis Cup play and everything else. Remember Barotra and those people?
Right, the four musketeers, they call them. They had Barotra, Brugnon, Lacoste, and Couchet.
Yeah.
All great, great French players, of course. And they dominated the tennis there for a while in the late 20s and early 30s. However, don't forget, the game has changed a lot now. It's gotten out of the country clubs and to the swanky clubs into the public parks and playgrounds. And America started to develop with this system, having so many players play that It just seemed that it belonged more to the masses. There used to be very few people who would play the game. It was an expensive game, the rackets and balls and equipment and to find a court. And when they gave it to the masses, why, the American with their super athletes and the public park system, playground system we had, had so many players trying to play that just by sheer numbers, we got the players. And don't forget now, with TV and the money offered, there people are playing now all over the world. And America has given up their edge. It used to be, Bob, as you know, you had to come from Southern California if you were ever going to be a great player. But that's no longer true. Romania can develop a player. Poland comes up with a player. The Australians have lost their dominance now. This is due to the indoor courts that are being built all over the world. You don't need good climate now for tennis. Chicago should have some great players now, and we do have enough because we've got all year-round play indoors here. And if you start early and you have good instructional books around, good films to study, the coaching techniques are better, and so the whole world has a chance to produce the champ.
Bobby Riggs, how many types of surfaces are there? Which is the most popular?
I don't know how many there are, but the popular surface is a European surface that they call clay. It's an Antuca. It's soft on your feet, and you can slide on it. In this country, we're going almost entirely now to a very hard court, asphalt-based, cement-based, with a nice green and orange two-tone type of court, but a very fast court and a very hard court. And we switched, as you know, for our U.S. Open Championship, which for many, many, many years was grass at Forest Hills. They tore up the grass at Forest Hills and put in the European-type courts. And the Europeans were going to be very, very strong contenders in winning our U.S. Open Championship every year. So the powers that be, the United States Senate, says, hey, we don't want that to happen. We're going to build the California-type hard surface so our guys who serve in volley will have the best of it against those Europeans. And this is why Borg has not won a United States Open, in spite of he's won the French four times, the Italian four times, Wimbledon four times. He's yet to win his first U.S. Open because it's on the type of surface that does not favor Borg. As great as he is, and he can win on anything, he hasn't yet won the U.S. Open due to the fact that that's not his favorite surface. Now, they have other courts. You have linoleum. You have canvas. You have supreme courts. But the two basic courts, Bob, are the softer courts, the European-type courts, and the California cement courts, which are spreading throughout the world because maintenance is a problem with those softer courts. Now, in Europe, they still have them. Wimbledon, of course, is grass. And that's about the only grass court that means anything in the world. Australia still has a grass court championship. But the big thing is the clay and the cement.
Bob, what of all the tournaments that you won, and you certainly won all kinds of tournaments, which one, as you think back, gave you the greatest pleasure, the greatest satisfaction?
Well, I'll never forget going to Wimbledon. I was just 21 years old, and you remember me, Bob, in those days. You met me when I was only 18 when I first came to Chicago when I won my national clay course out at River Forest. And I didn't get to go to Wimbledon for a couple of years. I had to wait till I was 21. So I went over there, and I was full of confidence. And Budge had just turned professional, so he was out of the race. And I figured, hey, I'm the next best player in the world. Budge is a pro now. Why shouldn't I win Wimbledon? So the thing that I get a big kick out of, I took 100 pounds. That's about all I had. That was about $400 in those days. And I went into a betting shop over there. They have them in England like we have them, like we have gas stations here on every corner. Those British, they really love to bet on dog races, horse races, anything. And they make a line on Wimbledon. You see, you can go in and bet on Wimbledon. So I went in. I said, hey, I want to bet 100 pounds on Bobby Riggs to win the singles championship. And the guy looked it up. He says, okay, 3-1 odds. I said, Riggs has never been here before. Surely he should be more than 3-1 odds. But those British bookmakers are tough. He says, 3-1, take it or leave it. I said, all right, here's 100 pounds. Put it on Bobby Riggs to win the men's singles. Then I got like Ford comes up with, boom, a better idea. I said, tell you what, leave it on Riggs. If he wins the singles, you have 400 pounds. Leave that and put it all on the doubles. What odds are you going to give on that? I said, well, we'll double the odds, make it 6-1. I said, gee, boys, you really give short odds over here. But okay, only bet in town, I'll do it. So I let it ride. So I won the doubles, and I got 6-1. So I had 2,400 pounds. So I said, hey, if Riggs wins the doubles, let it all ride on the mixed doubles and let him see if Riggs can win the hat trick, all three events. Unheard of. No one had ever done it on their first try at Wimbledon. So I said, well, I'm going to try for it. Let it ride. I'm a shooter. I said, let it go. I've got confidence. Would you believe, Bob, I won all three and I came back with over $100,000. That's why I've been a great hustler ever since. I always had a good bankroll. That's one of the things a good hustler has to have, because you know you can't do anything on short money.
Well, I'm not going to play you gin anymore.
Oh.
No, I think you have too much confidence and you got all that money. You know, I have to work for a living.
Oh, you make... you're a shark in that game. You remember every car. That's your road game. Boy, you've been clipping people all your life in that game. I'm going to get you out on the backgammon table, or...
That I don't know a thing about.
Well, I got to teach you that, Bob. That's the end game now.
You know, as you look back, though, you've had a wonderful career. You've had a lot of great things happen to you, a lot because of your own ability and your own dedication to the sport. But it's been fantastic for you, hasn't it?
It really has been. It's been a way of life. It's been good to me. It's a healthy game, as you know. You get such good exercise. You're out in the fresh air in the summertime, and if you have to go indoors, you still get the exercise. You get a really hard workout. Now, I love golf, as you know, but I honestly can't say that golf is as healthy for me as tennis, because you get one of those electric carts, and you ride around the course, you stand up, and you hit a few balls, and you don't really get a workout. And I think the key to long life, Bob, and good health is exercise. If I get my exercise every day, I can almost do anything else. I can even go out on a Saturday night and drink a barrel of beer if I want to, you see. And it won't affect me too much if you don't do it too often. Don't do it to excess. But if I get that exercise, that's the main thing. And, of course, I take my vitamins. And, of course, I train on my sugar daddy lollipops right there. There's one for you. And, hey.
What about that story about you taking all those vitamin pills? Was there anything, any truth to that?
Of course there was. You don't think I would do anything that was just for money, do you? Hey, if you get that Preventative magazine today, you'll see an ad in there that Bobby Riggs is taking organic vitamins along with Buster Crabbe. Remember him, that great swimmer? He takes them too, and this guy is a fantastic shape.
But how many do you have to take? I've always been under the impression that one or two would be the same as taking 50.
Well, I have streamlined my vitamins. There was a time there I was taking 400 and 500 a day because I was under the influence of what you call a vitamin freak, you might call this guy who wanted me to. He called himself a nutritional scientist, you see, and he was a believer that you couldn't get enough vitamins. So I was taking iron pills. I was taking liver pills. I was taking 150 little liver pills. See, this is like a BB shot. You could take 60 of them with one swallow, you see. I was taking amino acids, like vitamin B12. I take the E's. I take the C's now. But I'm down to only 40, 50 a day now, Bob, so it's nothing to it.
You've survived all this.
I have. But I had to quit taking all those because I didn't have time to play golf or tennis. I had every hour I was taking vitamins on the hour. You don't really need that many. I feel great now on just 30, 40, 50 a day.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is an old friend, one of the great names in the world of tennis, Bobby Riggs. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today at Northwest Federal has been referred to as a hustler, Bobby Riggs, a truly great tennis player, great card player, great golfer. However, this guy, when it comes to cards or things like that, or even a challenge to golf or tennis, you're a money player, right?
That's right, Bob. I believe that it doesn't mean anything. You got to be able to put your money where your mouth is and then come up with a good performance. I mean, to go out and shoot a great round of golf and not win a quarter on it, it's a wasted round of golf as far as I can see. Don't you agree? You've always been a money player.
I remember losing $50 on you when you played that woman. What was her name?
Billie Jean King. That's who, the catastrophe at the Astrodome way back there in 1973. I laughed all the way to the bank after that was over, Bob. It wasn't too bad.
Oh, you came down with a lot of money. Huh?
I did. Since that match, I must have put over $1.5 million away. I wouldn't say put it away. I earned that much. Listen, because you know.
How long are you going to be in town?
Hey,
I might change my mind about playing.
I want to get some of my money. I know what you want to play me, that gin game, that road game of yours. But I'm going to be out at the expo this afternoon, as you know, Bob. And I'm going to be taking on some of the gals out there who want to try their skills against Bobby Riggs. They know I'm the fastest gun in the West. Everybody wants to get my scalp, see, because they can brag to their friends or families and say, hey, I beat that Bobby Riggs. See, you know, that great hustler. So that's the excitement of it. See, they like to do that. So I got a fly casting gal out there, an archery expert, some table tennis people out there, and table tennis, and you name it. Hey, you know who else is going to be out there is Brucey Brubaker, the world's flight casting champion. This guy, you know how you could pitch those pennies right on a dime, and why, this guy can put that fly casting thing right on any target you name, behind his back, with his eyes closed, or he puts it, puts the plug in his mouth and lets it go that way. And you know, I wouldn't go up against him. I'd make him give me a really good handicap. Because that's the secret of being a good hustler, is knowing your opponent, how good they can do, and what you can do, and you got to be able to praise people and size them up. Like, I know better than go up against you and Jen, right? But I'll get you over on my game, see?
What do you recall about that particular match where you played that well-known lady and you lost, and I lost $50 on you? Well, did you expect to beat her that night?
Here's what I recall about that. I made the classic mistake that others have made in sports, and that is being overconfident, overestimating my own ability, and underestimating my opponent. Now, when you do both of those things, you're in trouble right away. Now, I'm spotting a gal 20, 25 years, something like that. Big, big age difference. She's younger, quicker, faster. But I figured that, hey, a man is supreme. The male is king. He should be able to beat a gal, even given her 20, 25 years. So I went into that match, Bob. Would you believe I didn't give Billie Jean King a chance? Oh, I gave her two chances. Slim and none. Would you believe one of them came through for? Hey, I'm still in a state of shock. I can't believe it yet. You can't believe it. All my friends say, Bob, I know if you played her again, you'd beat her. I said, you're right, but she won't give me a return match. She reneged on the contract. She double-crossed me. It's the biggest double-cross in sports history, Bob. Even though we offered her $1 million to play Bobby Riggs again, she said, no way. I wouldn't go through that for $10 million. That's a once-in-a-lifetime shot for me. The agony, the anguish I went through. I suffered $1 million. I wouldn't do it again because that Riggs was tough. And she said, I got up for it one time. Next time I might not be able to put it all together like I did that night. And I think between you and me, Bob, she's more pleased and she's more proud of that great win that she had over me than she is winning all of her 20 Wimbledon titles put together.
I would believe there's something to that. And that's probably why she doesn't want to play you again. It'd take the glamour away if you beat her.
That's right. And she, I think, made a little secret pact with the girls that if I don't play Bobby Riggs again, he's offered me a million. I don't want any other gals to play me either. That's why the girls boycotted me. You think I should take my case to court and get them for restraint of trade? They prevented me from making a living on my mixed-sex tennis invention. You think I'd have a chance to win that in court, Bob?
Well, you'd have a chance.
I'd have to prove conspiracy, but what do you think when Chrissy Evert wouldn't play, Gula Gong wouldn't play, Navratilova wouldn't play, even Rosie Casals wouldn't play? You remember Rosie Casals?
Yeah, sure.
I'll say one thing for Rosie. She sent me a silver plaque and said to Bobby Riggs, who's done more for women's tennis than anyone else.
Isn't that nice?
That was nice.
Yeah.
I once did a skit with her for TV. Remember the show they had on TV for what called Love American Style?
Yeah.
You know, they say Bobby Riggs is the kind of guy that'll do anything for a buck. So when I did this skit with Rosie Casals, I think this proves the point. Because in that skit, they had some towards kissing scenes. Now, you've seen Rosie Casals. That proves the point, don't you think, Bob? Oh, boy.
What are you doing out of Darlington? Are you giving exhibitions? Are you taking on a few people?
Taking on all kinds of challenges, especially from gals. But we let some of the guys try their luck with me, too. But basically, I specialize in women because they're so much fun. And they're, you know, just delightful to play with. And I love to give them a chance to add my scalp so they can have a big conversation piece about it. So we're going to play table tennis. We're going to shoot baskets. We're going to have an archery contest. And I'm going to do some fly casting. And who knows? If you come out, we might have a penny pitching contest. Why don't you come out? Well, maybe you'd like to
play a little
cards
gin
in a hat with me.
Play a little gin, I'd like to play.
You like to pitch cards in a hat, too. I remember you're pretty good at that. We might have to resurrect that old game. You saw me on The Odd Couple one time, remember, with Klugman and Tony Randall. And this name was Felix on the thing. And if you recall, no, not Felix, it was Oscar that I hustled out of everything he had. And, boy, I own his apartment, I own his salary for the next year, and everything the guy was going to have for the next year belonged to me. Because everything he tried to beat me on that night, I just absolutely killed him on the thing.
Bobby, you recall there was a character around Chicago named the Fat Man.
Oh, you're talking about Stanley. Yes, I know the Fat Man well. A super nice person, a really good guy, could play some golf. That guy could shoot 68, 69 anytime he wanted to. And he would give you a bargain. He'd say, well, Riggs, I'll give you 5 shots a side. I thought, by guys, 5 shots a side, I'll shoot 78. That's liable to be, or 79. I mean, I was a good 80 shooter in those days. And I said, that guy'll have to break 70 to have a chance. You know, he'd shoot 70 or 68, 79. He'd beat me every time. I never did beat the Fat Man. That guy was some golf hustler, but a nice person. Give you a good sport, he'd smile, And then he could always get a chance to play gin with him afterwards to get even.
Is he around still?
Yeah, he's around. I see him from here and there, all around. He's out in all the popular places, like he'd be in Miami in the winter. He'll be in Las Vegas for a while where the action is. He loves the action. And he Texas, and he goes where all the high rollers are. He loves to play those golfers for high and big money, and I hope he's doing well. He taught me a lesson. He told me, hey, just play with the guys that you know and never try to hustle a hustler. That's the message he taught me.
What about somebody who wants to learn to play tennis? Is there a limit at age? Say someone 40 or 45 who has never played tennis, can they still play?
The time to play tennis is now, and you're never too young and you're never too old to start. But you know the tennis boom that started when we created the U.S. Open. And then we have the big TV exposure and my mixed-sex tennis matches. And more people started to play tennis. Hey, that old guy Bobby Riggs is out there playing tennis. It can't be too tough a game. I'm going to take the game up. So we had thousands and thousands and thousands new converts to tennis who tried tennis. You know what happened, Bob? They discovered that tennis was a tough game. They couldn't learn it over. It was too hard to play. You know what happened? Racquetball was born. And all these frustrated tennis players that couldn't play tennis are now playing racquetball like crazy because racquetball is a fun game. It's easy to play. You can learn to play racquetball in two times. I mean, it takes no experience, no skill at all. You can get out. Anybody can bang the ball against the front wall. You know, you got a paddle and you hit the ball as hard. Hey, it's going to go someplace and it hits a wall. It comes back and you hit it again. You don't need technique. You don't need strokes. Hey, I don't say that there aren't great racquetball players. But it's nowhere near the skill game or takes years of practice to get good at it. So racquetball got all those old frustrated tennis players.
Who taught you the game of tennis? Your father?
No, a very lovely lady by the name of Dr. Esther Bartos, who was in Southern California. And when I was 12 years old, she saw me on a tennis court because I grabbed my brother's racket up and started to bang a few. And she said to my brother, John, how old is your little brother? He said, just 12. She said, that's the exact right age to start tennis now. I'll be happy to help him if you send him down after school. I'm here every day, and I'll get him started. She got me started, got me my first tennis racket, entered me in tournaments, taught me how to play, and was a great friend of mine all of my life. She brought me to Chicago back in 1932 to play the boys at Culver, Indiana. And she was just a super, super wonderful person, a great coach and a good supervisor. She was not a paid coach. She was not a professional, just a good tennis player herself and loved kids and loved to help them. And I got a beautiful start, Bob. I had the greatest supervision, the greatest start. There was no excuse for me not to go on to be the champ that I was. And I just did what everybody expected me to do and what I expected to do, and I just went ahead and did it. I had blinders on. I didn't let anything sidetrack me. I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be the champ of the tennis world, and I didn't let anything else interfere with that. I played basketball in high school, went out for the track team, fooled around a little bit here and there, but basically I stayed with my tennis program. And I was happy to see my dream come true. I was not only a boys champion, a junior champion, a professional champion, a Davis Cup champion, but now here I am, the best 60-year-old player in the world. I'm undefeated as a 60. I won 9 60 national championships in the last 2 years. I expect to repeat and win another 8 or 9 again this next year in 1980.
I hope you do. What about our time? Our time is about up.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, I do too.
It's so much fun to talk.
Well, we're going to make a quick break here. Our guest is Bobby Riggs, one of the great figures in the world of tennis. We'll be back in a moment. Bobby Riggs will be out at the Arlington Park Exposition Center today and tomorrow. And a chance to meet him and to watch him play. One of the world's great players. I was talking about European play before, and France is no longer, and Fred Perry was the last of the great British players.
That's right. That's right. And the player could come from anywhere now, Bob. And the foreign players are going to be a threat. Borg, the Swedish player now, so he got the early start. He had the indoor courts in Sweden, and he's been the dominant figure now for 4 or 5 years. I think our youngster, a kid from Long Island, went to Stanford, name of McEnroe, is going to repeat and defend successfully his U.S. Open champion. And I think he's going to win Wimbledon this year. So see if I'm a good predictor. I'm picking McEnroe to be the champ of 1980.
Well, you're the champ in my book.
Oh, Bob.
Not only 1980, 1979, 78.
Hey,
all the way back.
You're the great penny pitching guy that I know, the gin champ of all time. And I want you to come out, and we'll put on an exhibition gin game for him right out there at the Arlington Sports Center, where I'm going to be Saturday and Sunday, where there's so much to do, something for everybody out there. So come on out and have a lot of fun.
You know, you're not kidding about that. There is something for everybody out there. They can participate. They can watch. They can It really is a great show.
Did you go in for fishing, Bob Mudge? Did you have time to ever do any fishing?
No, I really didn't.
I thought you had been Ted Williams were great pals, I know.
We are great pals.
I thought you guys would go fishing together. And you would be hustling that guy some way or other on that fishing line. Who was going to catch the biggest fish or the most number of them or something?
You take care of yourself, and I hope to see you next time around. We've been friends a long time. And
just
it's been one of the great pleasures of my
life.
Bob,
just 44 years back to 1936. Hey, it's great to see you. I hope you'll invite me back next year because I wouldn't miss being on your show for all the money in the world.
Thank you, Bobby. Bobby Riggs, one of the great figures in the sports world and one of the world's great tennis players, has been our guest. And we've enjoyed very much having him again. No, I'm not going to play him no matter what he spots me. He's too good for me. Anyway, have a nice day. And this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Saturday at our usual time.